You're all looking at it.
Well, it's good to be with you again. It's been a couple of years now, I think. And I saw last night on my wife's Facebook page this beautiful picture of Jay's barbecue. And I took a picture of it with my phone, and I sent it to my mother, and I said, "This man knows what he's doing with a smoker. I've had his barbecue." And I said, "I'm going to go have some this weekend." So I'm very much looking forward to it. But I'm glad that, thankful you had me come down again, and it's good to see you all and good to be with you. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 3. You know what? Turn to Exodus 13. Turn to Exodus 13. On the way down here, I was trying to talk to Rob about this, and I've just felt like I saw it clearly, and I want to preach to you on this. So we may not turn to many scriptures, but I just want to show you the gospel in this passage, and I pray the Lord to bless it. Exodus 13, it begins this way: "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." Now, prior to this, the Lord had provided a Passover lamb. You know the story of the children in bondage in Egypt. And the Lord had provided a Passover lamb. And through the blood of this lamb, the Lord had delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And he's bringing them out now from that bondage and bringing them completely out of it, just as he promised Abraham he would do. And through the blood of this lamb now, God says, because he's provided a lamb to die in the place of all the firstborn in Israel. And he now says to Moses, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, because they are mine." They're mine. Now, this passage has to do with sanctification. There's a lot said about sanctification that's just simply not true. Here's the truth of sanctification: it is all of the Lord. Amen. Sanctification is entirely by God, apart from man's works whatsoever.
Right.
Now, sanctification means to be set apart, to be made holy by being set apart, by being perfected through the redemption that Christ accomplished, and it's to be cleansed within and to be brought, to be consecrated to God by the Spirit of God, set apart by God the Father in divine election, is to be redeemed by Christ, perfected by Christ's blood, and is to be brought by the Spirit, cleansing us within, brought to be consecrated to God. Now, that's the picture we have here. God has already provided the Passover lamb, and he's redeemed the children of Israel. And so next God says to Moses, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, they're mine." Now, the firstborn is like the first fruits. Whatever the firstborn is, that's what the rest are. Whatever the first fruit is, that represents the whole. And so he's not just speaking of the firstborn. He's saying, they're all mine. All God's elect that Christ redeemed, that he regenerated, they're his. They're his possession. And so we have three things in this passage that shows us, not everything there is to know about sanctification, but it shows us how God sanctifies his people. First of all, it's of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the only mediator between God and men. We see here God says this to Moses. And Moses here is a picture of Christ. Moses goes then between the Lord and the children of Israel and speaks on behalf of God. And this he does to sanctify the people. To sanctify the people. Now we're past the redemption. So we're past the Christ on the cross. This is Christ now coming to his people to sanctify his people, bringing the word of the Lord to his people, to sanctify his people. That's the first way that we're sanctified, by God through our Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator, the prophet, priest, and king who speaks to his people. The second aspect of this sanctification is through the hearing of faith, through the hearing of the faithful works of Christ on behalf of his people. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Paul says here, and look, let's go to verse 2. This, he says, Christ was set forth before you, crucified among you. How was that done? Look at this. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's how Christ was crucified amongst them. That's how he was evidently set forth before them. It was through the preaching of the gospel, the hearing of faith. It was not through the works of the law. The Spirit was given through the hearing of the gospel of Christ, not through the works of the law. Then he says this, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? After we come to Christ and we've been brought to Christ by the Spirit of God, the Spirit's been poured out upon us, are we going to now go back to our flesh and to the law? And he says here, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be in vain? He therefore that ministereth this to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, that's Christ who does that. He ministers the Spirit. He said, I pray the Father, he sends the Spirit, and he ministers the Spirit to you, and he works the miracle of grace in the heart, sanctification in the heart through regeneration. He says, does he do that by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does he continue this work? Does he continue keeping you sanctified by now sending you back to the works of the law or by continually hearing Christ and him crucified? It's through Christ. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That was 430 years before the law was given. Look down at verse 8. The scripture, foreseeing God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So this second aspect of sanctification is through the hearing of faith. And this is done, or pictured in our text, through two things that the Lord sent Moses to tell the people to do. One was to observe the Passover ordinance. And then observe that 7 days called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on the seventh day, it ended in a feast. So they were to go those 7 days eating no leavened bread, only unleavened bread. And then that was one way they were to continually be reminded of what God did for them. That's an illustration of the gospel of Christ. That's what the gospel is about. Peter said, I will not cease to put you in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and you're established in the present truth, I'm going to put you in remembrance. That's what the gospel is. Paul told Timothy, if you put them in remembrance of these things, you'll be a faithful minister of the gospel. And so that's what we have here. This Passover feast and this feast of unleavened bread is to remind them of the works of God, just like the gospel does, just like the Lord's table does, just like baptism does. These are things that remind us. That's the first thing that pictures the hearing of faith. The second thing is, on down the page, we're going to read all this. I'm just giving you the overview of it. The second thing he told them to do was sanctify unto him all the firstborn children. They were to literally sanctify those firstborn children to the Lord. So every time they did that, they were reminded of who it was that bought them, who it was that redeemed them, who it was that sanctified and separated them out. And then, so the first way we're sanctified is by God through Christ, our mediator. He's the one that brings this to us, brings this gospel, and makes it effectual in our heart. Secondly, it's through the hearing of faith. Being constantly reminded of what God has done for us in Christ. And then the third thing is the Spirit of God is given to us, the Spirit of Christ is given to us in our heart to cleanse us in the washing of regeneration. And from then on, God leads us and keeps us sanctified into Him. He leads us and keeps us separated from the evil, sanctified in Him. And that's pictured here at the end of this chapter, where it says that the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of the fire led them. The Lord led them the whole way. All right, now let's go back and we'll just go through it verse by verse and see what we're reminded of in this. All right, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses. Our Lord speaks to Christ, and he sends forth Christ. And he says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. It is mine. Now, Christ himself is the firstborn. Romans 8 tells us that he is the first. God chose his people and predestinated his people that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. And Hebrews 12 tells us that all God's elect, all those he sanctified in Christ and gave to Christ before the foundation of the world, in Christ the firstborn, all God's elect are the church of the firstborn. We're all firstborn sons in Christ the firstborn. So he sends forth Christ to sanctify all the firstborn, all his elect, all those who are firstborn sons in Christ. So that's the first thing. This whole thing is through the mediator, Christ Jesus. This whole work. When you read of God speaking to a man in the Old Testament scriptures, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, the Son of God, speaking to him, because there's one mediator between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, secondly, this thing is through the hearing of faith. That's what we came here tonight for, is to hear of Christ and his faithfulness in all the works he did on our behalf. All right, let's see this picture now in the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 3. God tells him to sanctify the firstborn, and Moses said unto the people. This is how he begins the sanctifying work. He speaks to the people. He speaks the word to the people. We're going to have to be born of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, Peter said, which by the gospel is preached unto you. But my preaching it to you won't sanctify you. It's going to have to be Christ who Moses pictures here. He speaks to you. And he says to him, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month of Abib, the month of the green leaves. Now, what day do we remember? When we're hearing the gospel preached, what's the day we remember? What's the day when we were brought out of the house of bondage, out of slavery? We hear Christ and him crucified. We're looking to that day when Christ went to Calvary and represented his people and was made sin for us and bore and was made a curse for us and satisfied the justice of God on our behalf. That's the day we came out. So this hearing of faith, just like this feast they're going to observe, the whole thing was to point them back to what God had already accomplished on their behalf.
Yeah.
And he says here, and this day that you came out in the month of Abib, the green leaves, I'm told that's March and April. That's sometime about when our Lord was crucified. And so this is all picturing Christ crucified. This is what they're being put in remembrance of. Verse 5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. Now, sanctification involves being separated out. You know, when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, and he said, how can light and darkness dwell together? How can the child of God and the child of the devil dwell together? And he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And this is what our Lord is doing through the gospel. He separates us out, and he keeps us separated out. Here they are. They're going to be in a land surrounded by reprobate men. And the Lord's going to have to keep them separated out. And he's doing it by putting them in constant remembrance of what he's done for them, just like he does for us through the gospel. Verse 6. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Now, in addition to being constantly reminded by the gospel that we were redeemed, justified, and sanctified by the strong arm of the Lord, by Christ Jesus, the hand of our God, when we're reminded that constantly, we're also at the same time reminded we did not contribute anything to the work. That's what's pictured here in this unleavened bread. You remember when our Lord told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they didn't understand what he meant. They thought he was talking about literal bread. And he said, I'm not talking about literal bread. I'm talking about their doctrine. They want to sanctify by just taking care of the outside. They just want to cleanse the outside of the cup when the inside of the cup is full of dead men's bones. And the Lord said, you got to cleanse that which is within. And Paul tells us this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at what Paul tells us. This is so of every believer that the Lord has sanctified through the blood of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians verse 5. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Look here, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. You are unleavened. Leaven's a picture of sins, specifically the sin of self-righteousness and self-sanctification and self-redemption and self-salvation. He says here, you are unleavened. They didn't look unleavened. But he said, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord and by the Spirit of our God. You are unleavened. There is a new man created in all of his people that is unleavened, that is without sin, that he has created. How is this so? Look at this. You are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Let us keep this gospel feast. Let us keep this gospel feast. Let us go this whole state of grace, all of us sanctified by God. Let us keep this whole feast from the beginning to the end. Let us keep this feast right here, not with old leaven, not bringing in the sin of self-righteousness and self-sanctification. Let's keep self out of it. He says, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is what we're constantly reminded of, constantly reminded by the strong hand of our God. Christ Jesus has brought us out, and he has sanctified us, and he has made us unleavened by his blood, by his righteousness, through the Spirit of our God, so that you are unleavened. And he says here, not only do you not have any leaven in this feast, he says unleavened bread shall not even be seen with thee, neither shall leaven be seen with thee in all thy quarters. Nowhere around you, nowhere where you live, nowhere. Now the world talks about sanctified men letting their light be seen before men. And what they're talking about is all these outward things they're doing and all these things that they make their boast about, how they sanctify themselves. Right. The leaven that our Lord says don't let be seen is that leaven.
Right.
But what will be seen when people look at us? We're not mixing any of that with us. There's no leaven mixed with anything. That's what men are going to see. And men notice this difference about us by God's grace. Men will say to you, you folks don't preach anything about man's works. You don't preach about man, you know, doing this or doing that to save himself or to sanctify himself. They notice the difference. That's how you let your light shine before men. You don't do anything to be seen of men. And you don't do anything that will cause men to see you and see the gospel in a bad light. That means we don't sin that grace may abound. That means we don't sin in that regard, and we don't sin in the regard that we want the light to be on us and how far we've come, as they say, you know. No, you no leaven. No leaven. None of that leaven is purge out the old leaven. And we're constantly, just like they were reminded of this, they'd eat this 7 days, unleavened bread, reminded. We didn't have anything to do with this. In fact, the Lord in Exodus 12 said he brought them out so quickly that they didn't even have time for their bread to mix any leaven with it and for it to be leavened. They had to eat unleavened bread. And that's declaring the truth that God has done all the delivering and we didn't provide anything. We made no provision for ourselves in this thing. He did it all. All right, let's go on now. Verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. This is our gospel. This is why they were observing this. And when our children ask us, why do you preach the gospel of Christ? Why don't you preach man and build man up and try to shave off this offense off the gospel and what have you? It's because this is what the Lord did for us. This is what the Lord did for us. That's why we preach what we preach. That's why we're observing this feast the way we are. And look here. He says, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. A sign is a reminder. A sign and a memorial is to make you remember. And he said, when you're partaking of this Passover feast and you go these 7 days eating unleavened bread, this is going to be a reminder upon your hand and a reminder between your eyes, so that my law is in your mouth continually. You see, the gospel that we hear, this what Paul was getting at in Galatians is once you've been brought to Christ, we don't go back to the works of the law to try to sanctify ourselves. We continue to be kept by God, sanctified by God, by the hearing of Christ. And this is truly what constrains us. This is the message. The love of Christ constrains us in what we do with our hand. And it constrains us in where our eyes look. We don't look to ourselves. We look only to Christ. And the law here that's in our mouths, coming out of the abundance of the heart, is not the law at Mount Sinai. It hadn't even been given yet. This is the law that he declares right here, where he says, because with a strong hand the Lord brought you out. That's the law that's in our mouth. The gospel. The gospel. Now, that's the first way in which we're constantly sanctified, is hearing of faith of Christ is pictured here by the Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But the Lord gave them something else. He gave them this thing of sanctifying the firstborn child. Let's read this, verse 11. It shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, that is the womb, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Now, what this meant was, when the Lord said all the firstborn of beasts and of men are mine, it meant then, so first of all, when they got into that land, he says there, now when it comes to the clean animals that God said were clean, he says, you're going to set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. Every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. So that set apart there means, the margin says, cause to pass over. And quite literally it meant you're going to take those firstborn clean beasts that God says I will receive. I'll take them as a sacrifice. And you're going to take those and you're going to cause them to pass over the fire, and you're going to offer them to God as a burnt offering to the Lord. Because that shows that everything that we have came of the Lord. It all came of him. And it's acknowledging that to the Lord. All the clean beasts, those firstborn clean beasts, were all burnt in a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, what is that picture concerning you and me? By this washing of regeneration, by the work of Christ Jesus on our behalf, brethren, we have been made clean. We have been washed and we've been made clean before God. And so now we don't have to come and offer lambs and the firstborn of clean animals to the Lord. Come, go with me to Romans chapter 12. Now that you're cleansed by God, this is what God says that he's due right here. This is what he's due from every one of us he sanctified. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, since he's done all this for us, that you present your bodies. They've washed. They're clean now. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what the clean beast pictured, that were burnt offerings to the Lord. You that the Lord has cleansed now, you that the Lord has sanctified and cleansed by his blood and the washing of regeneration now, he says now it's reasonable for you and me, in light of what Christ has done for us, it's reasonable for us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. That means whatever we do, we ought to do it as unto the Lord. We ought to have the gospel on our mind, the gospel on our hearts. We ought to have God's people on our hearts. We ought to have the furtherance of the gospel. We ought to have God's lost sheep on our hearts. Everything we do ought to be for the furtherance of the gospel, no matter what it costs me. No matter what it costs me. That's reasonable, isn't it? When you think about what Christ did, that's reasonable. And see, the true believer in Moses' day, every time that he brought that clean lamb and he gave that clean lamb as a burnt offering, he was reminded, everything I have is the Lord's. It all belongs to the Lord, including me. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, Christ, Paul said. Glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which is all belongs to the Lord. And then look at the next thing about this offering. It says, verse 13, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Now what does this redemption of the firstborn son and the redemption of an ass mean? An ass was an unclean animal. An ass was an unclean. God said, you can't offer those to me. You can't sacrifice those to me. Now, an ass will not do what you tell it to do. And if you get on an ass too hard, he'll just sit down and won't do anything that you're trying to get him to do. That ass is a picture of you and me by nature. That ass is me and you in our flesh, our old, wretched, sinful flesh that's still with you and still with me. God says, you can't bring that to me. You can't offer that to me. But how are we going to be made clean, even who by nature are unclean? Go with me to Hebrews. He said, well, let me show you there first before you go. He said there in verse 13, you got to redeem it with a lamb. You got to take a clean lamb, and he's going to have to die for the unclean. The clean's going to have to die for the unclean. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And he said, and if you don't do that, you break its neck. If you don't do that, break its neck. That's what God's justice demands. It's unclean. It's unjust. Got to die one way or the other, either in itself or in a lamb. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And look here in verse 7. Then said I, this is Christ, he said, I come to do thy will, O God. Now look down here at verse 10. Look at verse 9. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away that first covenant that he may establish the second. Everything we're looking at here in this old covenant is a picture of what Christ came to establish. He's the fulfillment of all that, and he's established the new. By the which will, by him doing the will of God, we are sanctified. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There's the clean lamb. Look down here now with me at verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
That's so every time they came with this ass that's unclean, and they were to kill a lamb, and a clean lamb, in place of that unclean ass, they were reminded, this ass is a picture of me.
Yeah.
And it worked, but for God sending forth his only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, and laying down for me, God wouldn't receive me.
Right. Right. That's it.
And now, don't forget, this is all what we don't have to do these things. We hear this preached
right.
in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We're reminded of this like they were reminded, literally bringing it. We're reminded of it by hearing it preached.
Mm-hmm.
By hearing it preached. And now he says, look at verse 14 again, and it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time what this means, you shall say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. This is all picturing what our Lord did, redeeming us.
Amen.
He says, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix. There, it's his. It belongs to him, being males. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. I buy them back. I buy them from him. I pay a purchase price, and I buy my sons. They're his. If I'm going to have them, and I'm going to use them, I'm going to have to buy them. And every time I do that, I'm reminded that Christ has bought me. And like Peter said, you're bought not with silver and gold. You're bought with the precious blood of the Lamb of Christ. I'm reminded of that. I'm bought. I'm bought, just like I'm buying my son right here from the Lord. He bought me. I'm his. And that's what we're reminded of constantly. And he says here, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand, for frontlets between thine eyes, for the strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt. Again, same thing. This is how we're sanctified. This is how we're constrained by the love of Christ to walk by faith, which worketh by love. You know, when the scripture says the just shall live by faith, when he's in Galatians 3, when he's talking about that, and he comes down there and he says, but that no man is justified in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But he says the just live by faith just like Abraham lived by faith. What is the just live by faith? Well, they're justified by Christ. And he said one chapter before that, and we live by the faith of Christ abiding in us. He's the way we live. He's the one who guides us. He's the way we hear this gospel, and it's made effectual, and we hear the voice saying, go this way, don't go that way. It's by him. I'm crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He abides in me, and I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's what it is, to just live by faith. Not just faith in Christ, though we do, but we're justified by Christ so that we're the just, and we live by the faith of the Son of God leading us and guiding us in every way. And that's the last thing that's pictured here. Verse 17. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them. God led them. This is all, when I read at the beginning of a chapter like this, and it says, sanctify me unto the firstborn, until the subject changes and we get into something else, this all right here looks to me like a picture of how we're sanctified. Every bit of it. Because this is how God sanctifies us. God leads us. Once Christ has taken up abode in you, the way you live by the faith of the Son of God is, he's the one that's leading us. Look at this. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Look at verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, this is what the Lord does. The Lord leads us. Christ is that pillar of fire. He is that pillar of that cloud that leads us in the way that we should go. And He doesn't always lead us in the nearest way. When he brought them out, he could have taken them right into Egypt, but he would have had to go through the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines were a people of war. And the Lord knew to take them that way. These young, just delivered former slaves, been slaves 400 years, bring them out and take them across that and confront them with those Philistines like that. And he said, I know they're going to turn around and go right back to Egypt. So what did God do? He kept them sanctified from Egypt by leading them in the way they should go. Go to John 17 real quick. Here's what I'm getting at. John 17. When our Lord prayed this high priestly prayer, and this is what he's praying for his people right now as he leads us. John 17, he said, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Amen. That's sanctification. Look here. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have I sent them into world to the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Christ is, he came into this world holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and gave himself. He was fit to give himself as the spotless Lamb of God to be made sin for his people, to bear our curse, and to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he did that, that he might be the truth that his preachers preach to his people. And Ephesians 4 says that he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. He's the one that does this.
Amen.
And that's what he does here. So he keeps us from the evil, not necessarily taking us the way we think we ought to go, not necessarily taking us the way that it looks would be the easiest for us to go, but he's always leading us in the right way we should go.
Amen.
Number one, we're always being kept in Christ the way.
Right.
And number two, whatever he's doing in this world, it's right because God knows what's best for his people.
Exactly.
And that's how he's leading us. I got two more things to show you real quick. Two more things. Now look at verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you.
Yeah.
Now, back yonder at the end of Genesis, Joseph asked and said this to the children of Israel. He said, God will surely visit you. God will visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you when you go out of here.
Yes, sir.
And Genesis ends, and it says Joseph died, and he was buried in a coffin in Egypt. Now, that was not a coffin like me and you have a coffin. He was embalmed, and he was put in an Egyptian sarcophagus so that he was above ground. So that, and I just picture it being one of those ornate Egyptian sarcophaguses, you know. He was the second man behind Pharaoh. You know they didn't bury him in a wooden sarcophagus. It was something with gold all over it and pretty. But that was a constant reminder all through that time they were in that bondage in Egypt. There was a constant reminder to them when they would look at that coffin. They would remember that promise that Joseph told them, saying, God's going to bring you out of here. God's going to bring you out of here. And so when it came time and God brought them out, just like Joseph said, do, they took his bones out of there with them. Brethren, we've got something better than that.
Yes, sir.
We've got an empty tomb.
Amen.
We got an empty tomb to remind us constantly. As we hear in this gospel preached, we're constantly reminded our Lord is risen to the right hand of God and all powers given to him as the God-man. We got a man that's seated at God's right hand that knows what we suffered, knows what we're going through in this life, and that man's God. He can provide, and he can comfort. And that's what we have as our assurance. And one of these days, brethren, they carried up Joseph's bones out of there. They carried his body out of there. That's not how it's going to be. When this sanctification is finished, he's carrying our body out. He's carrying our body out. And here's the second thing I want to show you at the end. That seven-day feast of unleavened bread, this gospel feast we're in, that's what it pictured, this gospel feast we're in right now. You know how it ended? Look at verse 6. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to keep on partaking of this gospel until the perfect time is fulfilled, the
right.
perfect day is fulfilled.
Right.
And this feast is going to end at the marriage, to marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to have a feast unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, in that day, you're going to sit at my table in my kingdom, and I'm going to serve you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it said.
We don't know nothing about righteousness. We don't know nothing about holiness. We just think that ain't right for him to serve us. Where there's no an absence of all that pride and all that mess, he said, I'm just going to serve you. And we're going to feast unto the Lord. That's sanctification. That's sanctification. This stuff the world's talking about, that's not sanctification. This is sanctification of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That blessed my soul. You know, people actually say, folks like you stress Jesus Christ too much. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Stress Jesus Christ too much. I'm reminded of something. I hope I don't steal anybody's thunder, but remember something that Clay mentioned last time he was here. I think it was when he was here, but, you know, people think, Clay's talking about sanctification is all of God. Period.
Amen.
That's what you talk about. That's what it is. And people think, well, once you're saved, then you need some kind of rules and regulations to guide you along the way. But Clay gave the illustration. He said when he was over here at the hotel last time, he didn't know how to get here. Now, someone could have told him, well, follow this sign, you know, go this way, go that way. He said, but, you know, I didn't have to do that. He said Marvin Stoniker had already been there, and he knew how to get there. He said, and I just kept my eyes on him, and I followed him, and I made it there. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, ain't it? And God's got to give you the sanctification to even do that. And that's amazing. All right, let's take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll get started again.